Welcome back to the Motherlode Marketing Podcast. My name is Cameron Riley. And as we always like to say in this show, you know, marketing is broken. It's pretty bad out there. Most marketing that we see being produced is dumb, it's ineffective, and it's a waste of time and money. It just doesn't connect with customers in a reasonable way. And so what we do on this podcast is we try and find people who are doing great marketing, effective marketing, and we get them on for a chat. And my guest today is Joshua Withers. I've been following what Josh has been doing with his wedding celebrant service, Married by Josh, for the last year or so, and I've been super impressed with the way that he is conducting his marketing. So I invited Josh to come on and have a chat. Hope you enjoy it.
Have you used the new Skype on iPhone?
Yeah.
It's a really subtle attempt for Microsoft to say, hey, have you guys heard of this Windows Phone interface? It's straight. It's the Windows Phone OS interface inside Skype. It's very tricky.
Right, yeah.
A little bit evangelical, if you like.
Good luck with that, Microsoft. One of these days, they'll get somebody to use a Windows mobile device. Someone will use it.
Yeah, I actually own one, not because I bought it, but because when I was at 4BC, they gave me one, because obviously they had a surplus.
Yeah.
it's not a terrible phone. It's just in the greater scheme of the world and app ecosystems and what, there's just, it's the kid that just didn't get picked for a team.
And with that, welcome to the Motherlode Marketing Podcast, Josh Withers.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was a great little, that was your introduction to your view of marketing. For the listeners, let me give my perception of the man we're talking to today. So, I don't know. I've known Josh online for years. I don't know how long, but I think you and I've known each other online for a long time.
Yeah, I'm feeling like 7, 8 years, maybe.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And I think we met in person for the first time a few years ago. You were doing a radio gig at 4BC in Brisbane. And I think we got together to do a podcast late one night, sort of a side project of yours.
Yep, the Thing Committee.
The Thing Committee. Is that still going?
It's funny you mention it. I'm in right now, uploading on FTP is a brand new episode that's been dead for a year.
Right, so it's being revived, resuscitated, the Thing Committee podcast.
We're trying.
So anyway, I meet you there, and then we had coffee a couple of times, and I thought, you know, good bloke. You know, fun guy doing some stuff. Next I hear you're leaving your radio career and you're becoming a marriage celebrant. And I'm like, all right, well, that's weird. I've seen weirder things. I remember when a mate of mine left his job as the senior editor at the technology editor at the Financial Review to become a priest. Now, that was a weird career change. I thought this was a weird career change. But since then I've watched from a distance. Well, you seem to have taken... What are you eating a packet of chips, Josh?
No, I'm actually walking around the backyard.
Okay, well, stop walking on packets of chips.
I apologise.
You've taken the whole marriage celebrant thing by storm. I just see this explosion of online fun, Married by Josh activity. So I thought, this guy knows what's going on. So that's why I invited you on the show. So just to give you a quick background on this show, Josh, what I've been doing for the last couple of months with this show is talking about how marketing is fundamentally broken. I don't know about you, but I think 99.9% of marketing in Australia is terrible, doesn't work, disconnected, waste of money. But the people that are doing it right, I like to get them on and to talk about what they're doing and how they're managing to do such a good job when so much marketing is so terrible. So you're the guru today.
It's a beautiful time to be someone that gets it, because the pure success that I've experienced is because marketing is broken and 99.9% of my competitors have no idea about just that very simple fact that it's broken, because it's I'm lost for words because there's so much opportunity, and I don't want to get all evangelical, but there really is so much opportunity, and I'm no one special. I'm just a kid having a go, but because I listen to a few podcasts, I've been following your stuff, and there's a few other you might call idols in my world, you know, Seth Godin, Gary Vaynerchuk, and just getting a few of their crumbs off their table has given me the skills and the opportunity to just overtake everyone else that I compete with. It's amazing.
Well, you've mentioned two excellent names there. I think that if, in terms of my idols in marketing or the guys who I talk about a lot, you know, those two guys are definitely up there. And then I guess the other big one is the Clue Train guys, Doc Searls, etc., about marketing being a conversation. So I'll get you to explain your version of Seth and Gary, but I would say that Seth Godin's key message is, if you're gonna market a product or a service, have something that's genuinely innovative and worth talking about. The purple cow theory. Do something that's actually cool, and then people will want to tell other people about it, rather than trying to just put lipstick on a pig and pretend that it's exciting. Gary Vaynerchuk's stuff is all about passion and integrity, and just getting out there and telling people about stuff that you're genuinely passionate about. And then the Clue Train guys are about making sure that marketing is a conversation with your market, your audience, your customers, about things that are interesting and important to them. And these are some fundamental concepts that I just don't see happen a lot in marketing. Now, tell me your basic takeaway from those guys and what you've done so different that's made your marriage celebrancy celebrated.
You know, it's always encouraging to find that there's more people that I could idolize. I've never even heard of Clue Train. I feel kind of stupid for not knowing who they are now, but I already love their principles. And it was actually interesting. I listened to, it might not have been the last episode, but the episode before that you had with the key person of influence. And I was listening to that driving back from a wedding. And like, I've never heard of these guys. This guy's kind of switched on. I like what he's thinking.
I'd never heard of him before until a month ago, yeah.
I could tell with the tone of your voice as you began the podcast, actually. It was hilarious. But I love hearing about new people that get it. And look, I wouldn't disagree with you on the Seth Godin side of things. And although I can't pinpoint a particular book or a particular blog post, or I get his blog via email, that has just kind of been a turnkey for me, the greater message that you identified with Seth is at the very core of what I do, and this is about just at the very heart of it, being real and honest and having an actual real thing, because consumers today, I feel like when we say consumers, we're talking about someone else, but people, you and me, we see through rubbish these days. And if you do a quick Google search on wedding celebrants or marriage celebrants, you see this vast community of what looks like really weird people. they look like an alien race has come from another planet, and like we are here to marry you. Do not be alarmed. We are here to make shit legal.
And we will eat your brains later.
Exactly. And the truth is that most of them are really lovely, nice people. I know many celebrants, and look, same with any community. There's assholes and there's good people. So, you know, I can't apologize for them. But most marriage celebrants are lovely, good, genuine people. They probably do a great job. But their online persona, which let's be honest, that's where commerce is happening today, because there's no marriage celebrant shops in Westfield. You know, you're not going through the marriage celebrant section at Meijer trying to find one. So that's where the majority of the commerce is happening. They just look weird. They sound weird. They use a language that is alien to people getting married today, because the average marrying population is in their late 20s, early 30s. And so it isn't like I've come through like some kind of hip, young, funky kid that knows how to say totes and all that kind of, I'm just me. And I amplify that, which is the Gary Vaynerchuk thing, just merely amplifying this real thing. So, you know, kind of the best of both worlds. There's the Seth Godin, like, have an actual good thing and ship it. And look, a lot of Seth stuff goes on to just that principle of getting it out the door. You know, you've got to ship, you've got to click publish, you've got to, you know, whatever it is, put the package in the box and drop it off at Australia Post. And then yeah, Gary's thing is just about telling that story and amplifying it and doing it on a consistent basis. And so that is the simple thing that I do. And there's a whole array of tools out there. And I can list off the tools that I use today, but if you talk to me in 12 months, it might be a completely different array of tools. Or there might be some tools that are at the bottom of the toolkit today, but in 12 months, they'll be at the top. And an example of that might be Snapchat. No celebrants, not even celebrants. Talk about just wedding industry. No one's on Snapchat. I know that because I got the username celebrant, which I'm kind of regretting. I wish I had got Joshua Withers because that's kind of my username on everything else. But anyway, and it isn't like I know what I'm doing on Snapchat. I've clicked around. I've got friends on there, but there's an opportunity to have a go there and just play with some tools. And so I'm not saying that I'm making loads of money off Snapchat, but I can tell you that I've booked a few weddings because people have talked about that celebrant that they follow, and I'm always throwing out photos into my story from weddings, and so in no way, you know, is it a runaway success, but I've made one more sale on there than anyone else in the wedding industry has, and you can say the same for Instagram, Facebook. WordPress is at the very core of my toolkit. Without having the ability to publish a really awesome website and blog, I don't know where I'd be. I don't know if there's other tools like Squarespace and whatnot, but...
So, Josh, you know, pull back a second. Tell us about where most of your customers come from. How do they find you?
There's three or four different paths that all lead them to my website. So Google is a big one. And I'm not talking about Google AdWords. I've stopped spending on AdWords. I was spending about $1,000, $1,500 a month on AdWords early this year, which was great because my email box exploded and a lot of stuff happened. But my conversion rate was terrible because, demographically speaking, I am attractive to an upper, you know, uptown, upmarket kind of demographic. And price-wise, I'm priced in the same way. And so... yeah, the average celebrant would be around $400, $450, including GST, I'm $825. And if you're on the Sunshine Coast of Byron Bay or somewhere outside of, you know, Gold Coast, Brisbane, and there's travel fees as well. So I'm literally twice the price of the average celebrant. So the email inbox exploded with Google AdWords, but I wasn't getting the conversion. So just Google organically. And I'm always playing with different things there, trying to find keywords that no one used. I don't know if you saw him.
Josh.
Not a shit celebrant.
Hold on. Stop. Come up there. Stop. You dropped out for the last 15 seconds. So go back to where you said, I don't know if you saw.
Sorry, could you repeat that?
Yeah, I said you dropped out for the last 15 seconds or so. So can you go back to when you were saying, I don't know if you saw?
Sure. I don't know if you saw on Facebook, but I just recently exploited the SEO term shit celebrant. And, of course, the varieties of not a shit celebrant and whatnot. And it isn't like that's going to be a runaway success, but just getting onto Google for things other than Brisbane wedding celebrant or Gold Coast wedding celebrant, which I'm luckily on the front page for those anyhow, organically, and not through any weird black hat stuff, just from having a really content-rich website. I really didn't want to engage in anything black hat or anything dodgy SEO wise, so Google gets me most of my leads into the website. But then funnily enough, Facebook groups, not pages. I've got a Facebook page and it's got a few thousand fans, which is lovely, but Facebook groups, because the wedding community, as in the getting married community, not the industry, but the brides and grooms, so many Facebook groups. There's hundreds of them. Even in Brisbane, there's probably about 10 or 20. And and just being a part of those and being a part of the conversation, and not just part of the conversation where someone says, do you know a celebrant? And I was like, oh, I happen to know a celebrant. It's me, which is obviously that's a direct hit. But just being a part of it, sharing my experiences, just and also I've obviously got my gospel that I'm preaching. You know, I've got my weddings don't have to be terrible. Weddings can actually be fun. Weddings can be awesome. And so just continually injecting that into the conversation. And so then when I do make a suggestion that I could be their celebrant, it's a qualified suggestion because, oh, he's the guy that helped me with this and helped me with that. And he also shared that blog post about this. And so when it comes to that point where they want to suggest a celebrant or someone inquires and I have to suggest one, it's a really qualified thing because it's not – the name isn't fresh. The name is known in the community. So Facebook groups, Google, and also just wedding fairs or events, expos, fairs, open days. They've got a variety of different names. But just an event where a local either group or a venue would invite prospective brides and grooms and they get to meet me. And I'm lucky that I stand it there because the average celebrant has a table with lots of brochures and they're a little bit weird and old and I just stand there and meet people and say, hey, how you doing? And I make quirky comments like, hey, can I marry you? And things like that. And people think that's hilarious.
And I've been married several times, Josh, so I speak with some authority on this matter. I think most celebrants are like, oh, it's like going to a funeral parlor. It's a bit like, oh, yeah. Hello, how are you? Oh, I'm so
happy. I don't know
happy.
Why they do that.
We can make it. And you are a fairly large presence, shall we say? you're a large man. I don't mean
I don't understand.
You are tall. You have a large bearing. You're fairly young. What are you? Early 30s?
30. Oh my God! This is the first time in my life I've ever not known my age. 32 because I turned 33 in December. God, that's how you know you're old when you can't remember how old you are.
Yeah, when you stop counting. 32, yeah. And you're a bundle of energy. I'm trying to think. You're the John Candy of wedding celebrants. That's not fair. But that I'm because people are they're listening to your voice. I'm trying to put an image in their mind. You're the Rod Ford of wedding. No, that's not fair. You're the who was the other guy? Farley. You're the Farley.
Chris Farley.
Farley of wedding. You're just a big bundle of happy energy, and that's obviously going to stand out from a crowd. One of the things that I've noticed a lot is your Instagramming selfies at weddings of you and the bride and the groom and the entire audience, you with your mouth open and this big cheesy smile, and them all smiling. Like, and I was thinking, how many other photos do I see on Instagram of somebody taking a selfie with their client at the end of their transaction?
Yep.
Service delivery. I don't think I ever see that. And I follow a lot of people on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. I don't think I've seen anyone else, myself included, take selfies with my clients.
That's actually a really, really big secret of mine. And you're the second person that's ever commented. A lot of people have commented about the fact that I do a selfie, but that it's always like, oh, you're so funny or so stupid or whatever. But I feel like you might have hit it from a professional, like from a marketing point of view, because someone else pointed out the other day and I thought, it's only been 2 years that I've been doing this and no one's caught on to the marketing side of it. And I'm assuming that you're on the same point of view that I'm a visual product, so there's an audible part of me where I'm talking at a wedding, but I'm also in all the photos, and no other celebrant is just putting their face out there. And I don't love getting my photo taken. God, I hate it. If anyone loves getting their photo taken, they really should contact Ryan Seacrest and Channel E, and they'll get a TV show instantly. Because I don't know who loves getting their photo taken. But I know that it's integral to my business that I need to be visual. I need to look good. And I need to be okay with looking good. I need to be aware of how I look in a photo. And so I take a selfie. So, hey, look at me. I'm here with brides. Everyone's so happy. Here's my big, ugly mug. And it's just continually showing that there's that happy side of it. There's also my face. And there's obviously that transactional, like, hey, we just did this. And everyone's really happy about what we just did.
I think that's the key thing for me from a marketing perspective is that's your product. Did you do a good job? Is everyone having a good time? And that's what you are selling in the most direct way possible. Apart from, you know, maybe video or testimonial, one of the most direct ways of demonstrating. See, I have this thing I always tell clients about, Josh. One of my first sales coach I think I ever had when I was 19 or 20, my first sales job, said to me that people tend to do business with people they like and trust, and that my job as a salesperson was to get people to like me and trust me, and then they would want to buy from me. Now, one of the things I say to clients all the time is the same is true in all of your marketing assets, like your website. Does your website encourage people to like you as a business and trust you as a business? And most websites fail at that miserably. They've got the same stock photography as every other website. They've got the same buzzwords, the same copy, the same promises. And it doesn't inspire likability or trustworthiness. Now, when I see you Instagram those photos with all of these people that are obviously having a great time and you look like you're having a great time, if I was a potential customer, and I just want to qualify that I am definitely not. I've my third marriage, that's the last marriage for me. Can't afford to do that again. But if I was, I'd definitely, yeah, we'd book you as the wedding celebrant. But it looks like you're having a great time and they're having a great time and it's been a success. So you are selling likability and trust. Do I think I would like this guy? Well, he looks like he's a fun guy, so probably. Can I trust this guy to do a good job? Well, it looks like he's done a good job for all of these people on Instagram where he's, and they've even let him take a selfie at the end of, which is an unusual thing. Normally it's, you know, now stand still for the official wedding photographer and we've got this guy doing selfies. I don't know. I just think it's a huge success, man. Well, that's one of the most clever, creative, innovative uses of Instagram I think I've ever seen.
I actually had two couples on this weekend just gone where we'd done the ceremony and I didn't, because I have to be sensitive to the timing, you know, because they've just got married and there's kisses and there's cuddles and there's family and mum and dad. And so I've got to be very sensitive about when to take a selfie and you know, so not straight away, or sometimes it is straight away. It depends on the structure and on the day and the family and the couple. But the two couples on the weekend, I hadn't got to that yet. Like I was going to, you know, because obviously it's what I do. But they go, oh, we've got to take a selfie. we've got to take a Josh selfie. Uh-huh. Like, wow, you guys are onto it. And they've even started using my hashtag. So and I don't subscribe. Actually, I lie. My wife has turned me around on the Instagram hashtag side of things, and I've actually started getting some business out of it. But I never really loved hashtags as a big thing on Twitter. I've always used them ironically or hilariously. Yeah. But someone told me a long time ago that I should start hashtagging my photos with my own personal branding hashtag so that as someone sees it, I can look back and go through other photos with the same hashtag. So I've started using hashtag Married by Josh kind of in an ironic way, kind of in a branding way, kind of in like maybe someone could click on it and do that. But then couples have started using my hashtag on their wedding photos on their own Instagram. It's just mind-blowing because people love getting being a part of that experience. And it is a really genuine experience as well, which is probably the most important thing to me, because when we're all happy at the end of the ceremony, it's because we're actually happy, because I'm happy. And I'll tell people when we're planning the ceremony, I'll say that it's important to me that we do a really awesome wedding, not just because you've paid me to do that, because it's lovely you've done that. But I said, I'm a little bit selfish as well, because if I don't do a good ceremony, like I'm probably not going to take a selfie. I'm probably going to feel shit that night and I'll cry myself to sleep because I did a terrible job, because it's that real authentic, you know, the thing I was talking about earlier on, that it's a very real and authentic product. It's a very real and authentic marketing effort. I don't really have the ability to bullshit too much. I can, you know, everyone's got their base level bullshit ability, but I can't pull the wool over many people's eyes for that long. Yeah.
And I think the thing that you've done here, when you've got your customers using your hashtag, you've turned your business into an event that people are going to seek out and want to talk about and promote. They want to be part of the Married by Josh experience, and they want to talk about and promote that. It's like, I don't know, they've gone and got married by Elvis in Vegas. Yeah. You've turned it into a thing that people will seek out. But, of course, there are lots of Elvises, but only one Josh. Maybe that will become a thing. Maybe, you know, there'll be Josh impersonators in Vegas at one stage.
Oh, wow.
One day, you know.
Look, and I'll tell you this, and this could be a business transaction. If you can come up with a real and authentic way for me to franchise me, I will contract your services. Because honestly, everyone says it to me. Everyone makes the comments, you know, because I can only be at one wedding on 3 p.m. on Saturday. At 3 p.m. on Saturday, I can't be anywhere
else. Hard to scale, yeah.
And everyone says, you know, you should hire guys, or you should, you know, start an agency, and none of that sits well with the rest of my brand, because no one else really sees the economics and the mechanics of that branding process. I'd hope that you might agree. If you don't, then I'd love to get your input. That it's kind of hard to scale what I do right now.
No, I think you could do it. You just put an ad out there looking for Chris Farley lookalikes who love marrying people. No, look, it's the challenge of a lot of small businesses that are built around a successful individual. I mean, this is obviously not a new problem. My wife suffers from this as well. She's a violin teacher, very successful, bustling studio. Having to turn away clients often, or new clients, because she just doesn't have time in her schedule to teach more people. And, you know, we often talk about how do you scale that up, and she has the problem of, you know, finding people who can do what she does the way that she does it. A lot of people can teach violin, but not the way she teaches violin, because it's got a lot to do with her personality.
Exactly.
She's young and fun-loving, and the kids love her. And, you know, I think violin teachers are a little bit like wedding celebrants. Most of them are dour and old and boring.
Yep.
So, look, it is. I think it can be done, man. I think you'll figure out. If anyone's going to figure out how to do this, it'll be you, Josh.
Okay, thank you.
You've built a terrific brand. Now your challenge, should you choose to accept it, is to how do you scale yourself up?
Because it's quite sad on an economical point of view, where I literally have to turn away 60 to 65% of the inquiries that come knocking at my front door.
Well, this is the key person of influence stuff. You should get a copy of that book. I can't believe I'm plugging Glenn's book. And they've actually got an event coming up in Brisbane, like in the next week. You should go, because you need to build a product, is what I'd say. There's the other thing to look at. You need the Married by Josh book and DVD set, the Gary Vaynerchuk sort of stuff, and then sell that to every marriage celebrant in the world who's trying to figure out how to you know, better market their business, and also just any small business person who's trying to figure out how to successfully use the new tools to market themselves. They, you know, you sell a million copies of the book for $29.95.
There we go.
Anyway.
Solved.
Josh, that's the show for today. Again, congratulations. Thanks for coming on. And look forward to seeing what happens next, man. We'll have to get you back on once you've successfully franchised yourself and you got the Vegas Married by Josh experience.
Actually, you know, it's funny. I've talked about franchising in Vegas, not quite Vegas, but I've just franchised one of my sub-businesses into Arizona. And Arizona and Houston, Texas, and there's another place. Sorry, I should remember. Being with me, my first international franchise, I should really remember
what's
the town names.
What's the sub-business?
The pop-up weddings. The pop-up wedding is probably my greatest marketing effort yet, where I just came with a new idea and everyone loved it, and now people are coming to me wanting to know how they can run a pop-up wedding in their town, and I just made up a little franchise agreement and said yes, and it's crazy.
What's a pop-up wedding?
So the pop-up wedding is a fancy elopement, to be blunt about it. It's your registry wedding. It's your, you know, legals only kind of elopement style, with, you know, 0 to 10 guests. But we do 8 of them on a day, and so we kind of pool the cost of a celebrant, photographer, venue, stylist, flowers. And so I've got one coming up in Perth, which is sold out, and I've got one coming up in the Gold Coast, which is sold out. And it's $1,200 plus GST to get married, and it's great. It's just amazing. And I know it's a good idea because about 10 other people in Australia have launched their own pop-up wedding business since.
So $1,200 split between everybody or per couple?
I don't know, $1,200 per couple. So there might be six, seven, or eight couples, depending on the format of the day. And they all get married in their own individual. So there'll be a 9 a.m. wedding. There'll be a 10 a.m., 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Right. That's, you know, my wife and I got married in Vegas, that sort of style. It was just us. We had a celebrant and a photographer.
Yep.
And didn't tell anyone about it. And no family, no friends. And that was 5 years ago. Three, four years ago. We still talk about how it was perfect. You know, when we hear other people get married and, you know, they talk about, oh my God, the stress and blah, blah, blah. We're like, our wedding was awesome.
Yeah, no, the pop-up weddings have been a massive success. And like I said, it's been copied by other people, that's how you know that. Generally, how you know that something's either a great idea or a good business idea because other people copy it. But then Seven Sunrise have done a section on it, and the Today Show have done a section on it, A Current Affair have done a section on it. So
fantastic.
That's just a lovely little offshoot which just kind of magically happened.
Well done, Josh. You're a marketing genius. All right. Thanks again, Josh. So people can check you out, follow you on the Twitters. Is that the best place, Joshua Withers?
Yeah, Joshua Withers on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. That's probably the main ones. If you Google shit celebrant, I'm top of the list there. Or you can just go directly to marriedbyjosh.com. That's going to be on my next banner. Get it marriedbyjosh.com or just Google shit celebrant.
You should get that on a t-shirt. You should wear it in weddings. You should give it away at the weddings. I Googled shit celebrant. And all I got was Married by Josh.
Love it.
Thanks, Josh.
Thanks, Cameron.